Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I talk to the spirit?
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the IGN UK podcast. Hi. I am Simon Cardy, and to my left is...
Joe Scrabbles.
And to my right is...
Dale Driver.
It's your birthday.
A birthday boy.
I mean, it's technically, yeah,
on the day this podcast drops, it is your birthday.
As we speak, it is not, but yes, it will be when this drops.
You doing anything special?
Ooh,
no, I'm 36. I'm just going to pretend it didn't happen.
Not a cake?
Not a cake.
What about some sort of nice dinner?
I think so. I think we're going to do that, yeah. I'm not really sure yet.
What are we talking?
Ooh.
Italian?
Nah.
Bella Italia?
Maybe Indian food, I think.
Indian food.
Curry and a beer.
I am nice. I am... we should explain that, just because that's a funny thing we haven't talked about. Yeah. The other day, I was waiting for Cardi to come out of Tesco, and two guys walked past, and they bought meal deals. And they were like builders, and one just leaned over to the other one, pointed at the guy's meal deal,
which
and
was
went...
evidently a sandwich.
It was a sandwich and like a tango.
Yeah.
And he went... curry and a beer. Nice.
Which probably isn't as funny as if you were there.
I pissed myself. Immediately told Cardi, and we kind of went, it's good to know there's other people out there who are like us.
Did they hear you laughing at them?
No.
Because
it happened while I was waiting for Cardi, so I was just by myself being like, yeah. Did that just happen? That's amazing.
Imagine if he heard you laughing and then he went, curry and a beer, and now a fight.
Fight.
He started stabbing you up.
But you know, stabbing me up.
What you can do around your birthday weekend, Dale, it is one of the television events of the year, if not
this
all
week,
time.
This week's
this
got a
week,
big,
yeah, it's a big
project.
Bear Grylls, You Versus the World has hit Netflix. Oh, yes. We've watched slash played an
we're
episode.
We're leading with Bear Grylls?
Yeah.
We don't? Okay.
It's the big television event this week.
it's a choose your own podcast and I've gone this way with it. if you don't know what Bear Grylls You Versus the World is, then A, get on it.
Yeah.
And B, if you did Bandersnatch, the Black Mirror Choose Your Own, it is that sort of choose your own TV experience. But crucially, you are helping Bear Grylls survive.
Yeah.
Relatively treacherous conditions.
It is, to me, what if Bandersnatch was one of the VTs from this time with Alan Partridge? It's so weirdly budget shot and badly acted that it's just incredibly
and it
funny.
Has like the graphics quality of, do you remember like when for about 6 months to a year board games that were also DVDs were a thing?
it has that sort of feel to it, so
there's 8 episodes. We just chose one at random. I say random, it was called like Land of the Dragons,
and
so
we thought that meant Komodo.
No, it's a mildly perilous Welsh valley.
Like there's no danger there. You could go out for a nice brisk walk.
It's coastal Wales.
You say there's no danger. We made him eat a limpet. And let me tell you, not to spoil this incredible narrative they've created.
I mean, I feel like we've got to spoil
he's
it.
Got a, he's
you
got
want
a,
to make him do everything that's wrong.
He's got a pretty severe approach, PSA approach to eating raw food. Because he'll always tee it up. He's like, there's 40 calories in a limpet.
Yeah.
Or like... this egg, I could eat this egg. It's really good energy. I'm going to have to eat because he's got there's two sets of choices. We've done proper game review on it. It's diamond shaped design. You're always funneled out and then back into a meeting
like to,
point
it's
again.
Quite Oxbow Lake like, which is quite relevant to the episode we watched.
But he, at one point in both branches, you are asked whether you want to eat like a raw thing or lots of a thing that looks less appetizing.
Flowers.
The first time we came across it, it was gorse bush or raw eggs of a ground-dwelling bird.
I think you remembered that.
That he happened to find.
And the best part of this, like, I know technically this is spoilers, but it's fucking
who
Bear
cares?
Grylls
who
choose
cares?
Your own adventure.
Yeah.
Dale sat next to us and went, how funny would it be? Like, and this is entirely as a joke. How funny would it be if he just... popped the whole egg in. Like, didn't crack it, just stuck it in his mouth. First thing Bear does, sticks a whole egg in his mouth, crunches it, and then complains about the shell.
Like, you just put a whole egg in your mouth, mate.
Yeah, you just bit down on an egg like it was a fucking Kinder Surprise.
I'm also wholly aware, I don't know what global appeal Bear Grylls holds. So if you don't know who Bear Grylls is,
yeah.
He is a TV survivalist man.
Is he XSAS?
I think he is, yeah. But basically, he likes to pretend that he can survive wild conditions, but then spend nights at hotels in between.
I think it is unfortunate that dog's him, because if we didn't know that for a fact, you'd still go, this is a man who knows what he's doing. Yeah. He has some relevance.
Well, he does have some useful advice, like using a bag as a life jacket if you get caught in a bog.
He had a dry bag. And he blew it up with his mouth and used it as a life raft. Yeah,
and he escaped a 2-foot-wide bog that he could have just walked
around. Yeah, that was mad that he was just sitting in a little stream for a while saying he was stuck.
I mean, it's obviously very contrived. And the idea that he knows all this information, he has all the right answers, but he just leaves it to the will of the Netflix gods.
Yeah.
And even if he knows it's stupid, he's still, well, fuck it. That's what you chose.
There was one
that's
time, I think. So we chose to go into a cave. And yep. You could either track down a wolf or just leave. Most people would just leave.
Yeah.
But we decided, no, let's find
Not
this wolf.
Not most people.
I think Netflix
controlling Bear Grylls.
Yeah.
The fucking engagement stats on the left choice to follow the wolf in that are going to be through the roof.
But basically, once that one happens, he just goes, we're going to track the wolf. Okay.
Yeah, it's like he's holding back the words, for fuck's sake.
But the funny thing is, so it's all PG rated, and sadly you can't kill him.
No.
Which would be hilarious.
We tried many times.
We made him fight a wolf, we made him get chased by a wolf, we made him try and fall off a cliff.
We've made him get food poisoning from a limpet and an egg.
The number of times he has a very small slip in that one episode is so mad. Because I think some of them are real. They're just him slipping on some slimy rocks.
Yeah.
But the musical stabs that go with them are so funny.
Anything to add drama to this, which is basically a really boring.
But basically
basic
what happens,
landscape.
If he knows, right, you've made the bad choice, all he does is get a walkie-talkie out and go, I need extraction. Yeah. This helicopter.
I need evac. There's one he gets. No, we are really spoiling Land of
Dragons. It's one episode
we're spoiling.
Right. There's a bit where he's getting chased by a wolf. He calls for evac and he literally clips onto a rope hung from behind a helicopter
it's
and
like
flies
predator.
Off. And as if this is real survival tips, you just need to have a helicopter at all times.
Yeah. Well, the wolf is in hot pursuit when that's happening as well.
I wouldn't call it hot pursuit. It's pursuit in a completely different shot and maybe a different place.
A different wolf.
The wolf keeps changing.
I'm sure one shot was just a cat with extra hair added on.
Wolf goofs.
And there's also that bit we had him square off with a wolf and he just repeatedly just shouts, get back!
Back away! Back away! He has a handmade spear. It really kicks off. My favourite bit, the end of it, he just says, out of nowhere, pop a smoke and gets a smoke grenade out of his bag. He hasn't got food. He'd bring a fucking tracker bar, but he has a smoke grenade in his bag.
Which he just throws on a country road. He's like, that's his safety.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Could have done that back then, mate.
He gives a big thumbs up to the helicopter.
I like the first thing that he said he didn't bring food, but the very first thing he does is say, I need food.
I'm hungry.
Like, have a big meal before your journey, mate. That's
carbo
mad.
Load.
I'm not going to lie, though. It is shonky. It's badly made. The audio mixing is dire.
Oh my god, yeah.
But it is hilarious.
It's fucking entertaining.
And I do want to play all of them.
Well, that's it. I also want to play all of them with people.
Yeah.
Like, just sitting by yourself would be quite lonely.
Yeah. I feel like it's absolutely not got any sort of the width that Bandersnatch has. Like, the options.
No,
it's very much a linear sort of pick the right choice or the wrong choice, and then if you pick the wrong choice, he goes back again, and you just keep doing it until you get the right choices.
Yeah, but it's like an educational game from the 90s.
Yeah,
he's not a very good actor, is he?
Oh my god, there's a bit where he has to pretend to be sick. It's insane. It's just him with his head in some grass going,
he just goes, it's the limpet.
Yeah,
it's the limpet.
even if you were being sick and you're out there, you wouldn't call an evac in immediately, would you? You just ride it out.
He literally says the words, I'm in a bad way. Fuck me, it's so funny.
Amazing. Well, do you know what other TV show, big TV event of the year there is, that also has wolves in? And there's a Land of the Dragons.
How did you not get to Land of the Dragons?
I was getting there.
It took a long time.
I was building
time.
It up. Game of Thrones.
I've heard of it.
It's back.
Yeah.
Back. Are you ready, Dale? I know you're very excited.
I'm very excited. I've been doing mad rewatches. Like, I started off rewatching all season 7, and then I just started picking random episodes. Started with the Battle of the Bastards, and then I just kept going to all like the episode 9s and the big battles. And then I thought, fuck it, and just went right back to start. And now I'm working my way through again, and I'm halfway through season 5 right
now.
Oh
my god, how do you have the time?
I watch it on my commute, so it's not too bad.
So I've rewatched season 7, so I just caught up with the recent history. Didn't realize how much I needed that, because I did forget a couple of people had gone and where a couple of people were, and I'm very excited.
We're doing a good thing at the moment on the site, which we've been involved with, which is called When I Died, which we got a load of actors who have been killed in the show to just talk about their death scenes and what they remember of the show and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
a few of those people came in and I'd forgotten their characters were
really?
Dead. Like including Ollie.
When
he came in, I was like, fuck yeah, of course, he's a dickhead. Like, I just remembered him as the kid who had the horrible time in the village at the very start.
Right, yeah,
not
wasn't
very
it,
start,
that was like season 4. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He didn't show up for a while.
Yeah, he just came in. I was like, you're dead, aren't you?
You're the one that stabbed Jon Snow. Yeah,
yeah.
Spoilers.
What a little prick.
But yeah, is it six episodes?
Six. Yeah, and the first two are like sort of standard length, and then the last four are like hour and a half jobs.
Oh, I don't think any of them get to hour and a half.
I think the last two are an hour and 20. I think the last two are hour and 20.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But still, yeah, they're all pretty much mini films, aren't they?
People were fucking kicking off that they weren't an hour and a half. There was some bad old comments on the internet.
They don't know what's in them.
They're like, oh, you've got fewer episodes, but we're not as long as we want. It's like, just let them make the correct show.
Just enjoy it. Jesus.
Fucking, what people want is Daredevil, where it goes on forever and nothing happens.
Okay, so we got 54 minutes, 58, 60, 78, 80, 80. Mm-hmm. And the last couple were an hour and 20.
Good number reading.
A bit rude. What? You're just reading off a fucking running order, mate.
Do you want an opinion then?
Yeah.
I think it'll be good.
We
go.
Season 7, when you went back to it,
yes.
Do you like it? Because
I
remember
really
it being
like it.
Underwhelming.
Really? I really like season 7.
I think there's some awesome bits, but I think there's a couple of duff moments. One duff episode, which is the one Beyond the Wall episode, which
really I really like that one.
It seems fun, right? But it's a load of mad. There's a lot of mad travelling that goes on.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Jump in one side of Westeros.
Also, the fact that they went all the way up there to get one White Walker to bring back.
Yeah,
like you feel like they managed to get themselves in a ridiculous predicament in that situation. Like, it didn't need to happen.
I can't. In the nicest way, I can't wait for this to end. Because I trust them that it'll be nicely wrapped up and they won't leave it. If it's left on a cliffhanger, that'll be so disappointing.
No.
There are very few shows where I believe an ending is what I want most. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's lots of shows that have ended and I'm like, that was a good ending, but I wish I was watching more of it. Like, that happened with Mad Men when I was watching that. Happened with Hannibal. But this, I'm like, I trust that an ending's going
to
be good.
It feels like they've always had conclusions to a degree, and you feel like it's not just a show like Mad Men that's just continually running and they decide to end it at some point. This one always feels like there was an end goal,
and I like nothing seems to have leaked so far, which is good.
Episode 1 is out there. But as in
ultimate conclusion, no one really knows. Which is why we're going to have a little go at predicting it ourselves.
Oh, we've got a special little feature.
We've got a little, we're going to do this now. I think we've got 3 predictions each.
I have
in a few weeks when it's all ended, we'll obviously do it in a spoiler filled section so no one can complain. And we'll see if anyone actually got anything right.
I think
that'd be good. But we'll make sure we go back and we could even like splice it in and then like review it.
Us being like, that's ridiculous.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Let's do it round table, one at a time. Round robin.
Bran is the Night King, obviously. Otherwise, what is the point?
Wow.
In Bran.
You know that's been confirmed not a thing, right?
I don't think that's true. What do you mean it's not a thing?
Well, like the actor who plays Bran has said it's not true.
Yeah, but they're all saying things,
although,
mate.
To be fair, Jon Snow did say he was actually dead in between
those two seasons.
What's
the point? Basically, to me, there's no point in Bran unless he's involved in either recursive time business or my other thing, which isn't actually one of my predictions, and I don't know if one is one of yours, but that he is the only person left at the end and repopulates the world by creating the Children of the Forest again.
What about...
Why is he a fucking root boy otherwise?
I mean, in the show, he's absolutely a device to find out who John really is.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But from the books, it's that, yeah, you're right. There's like, there needs to be a reason why he's becoming...
At the end of all of this, like, he can't, unless he just gets burned.
I mean, we've already seen elements of how, like, there's time travel elements and how he can affect the past and change things with Hodor, so there's no reason to think he can't change something, but I think the Night King is maybe a bit of a
stretch. I know
stretch.
He's gone through a bit, Bran, but I find him a miserable little git.
Yeah, he's boring. Yeah.
He is really boring now. And every time he says Three-Eyed Raven, it makes me cringe just a little bit.
But that's it. It's one of the only things where they're not giving you any substance to the supernatural. Like, they're quite, even with the dragons, it feels like quite a grounded version of that stuff. Mm. But for some reason, Bran and Three-Eyed Raven and all this cosmic bullshit is just swirling about with never anyone bothering to talk about it. So it has to end with him being something.
Yeah.
Because it's just annoying.
Like, I'd love it in the first 10 minutes of this one. Now he's just killed. And you're like, oh.
But I'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
I fully expect, like, at some point, John will go to one of those red trees and Bran's face will be on it and he'll be like, hello, brother.
Yeah. Right, mate.
Hello. I'm in a tree.
There you go. See if that happens. Dale.
So, that very much leads on to one of my predictions.
Oh, lovely.
Which one of mine is Bran merges into the Weirwood tree at Winterfell.
Yeah.
Because that's where the other guy was. Do you remember the original Three-Eyed Raven? He was merged with underneath the Weirwood tree, wasn't
he? Yeah.
In the north. Well, beyond the
wall. I just assume it's like all of them have got roots together. Yeah.
I just feel like that tree has always been a big focal point of the show, and I feel like that's where he's going to sort of his final resting piece.
He'll fly.
Place, I should
think
say.
That's the final shot of the series.
No, not at all. No.
Him stuck in the tree. Shot,
what was I going to say? Oh yeah, you know, say about the Night King. We saw a shot there when the Night King was created.
Yeah, but that's like he could be reincarnation.
Actor.
It could be it could be older Bran if they're being shit. That's, I can't remember what he was like. Anyway, I know that's like it's fairly out of the circle of things. It's more that was more an impassioned way of saying, give him a fucking point because I'm bored.
Well, I haven't got any about Bran, sorry to not conclude, but I have. The Iron Throne will be destroyed. Mm. It will not exist at the end of the series.
I think that's a fair shout.
The way I think it'll happen, B point here. Dale, you know a lot about steel and metalwork.
Some might say.
Yeah. The Iron Throne, it's not good, is it, when metal gets really cold, then really hot? What happens to it?
No, it just like it shrinks and contracts. And
it's not good, is it?
No.
What if that happened with some icy White Walkers or an ice dragon and then an actual dragon hit it? What if the throne just shattered?
I mean, that's a very convoluted way of destroying it, isn't it?
Yeah,
couldn't just a dragon just destroy it?
I'm not doing simple ones. That'd be boring.
The amount it takes to get them there is interesting, because that fight has to move so far down the country for any of that to happen.
An ice dragon, though, with a king on it could move quick.
Or what about if Daenerys just decided that she ordered her dragon to destroy it at the end? When she's got it and she can
just
take
smelt it.
But she wants to destroy it because I want to start something new.
Yeah, it's a symbol of my family's dead past.
Yeah, the throne will not exist.
I mean, there was that vision she had in season two where they were in King's Landing and it was all like destroyed and in snow and rubble and stuff.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, she had, like, Daenerys had sort of a vision of it. So that could easily come true, I think.
So I don't think anyone will sit on the Iron Throne.
Nah.
What's your next one, Joe?
My next one is more of a feeling than an informed point.
Okay.
I just reckon Tyrion's going to die quite early.
Okay.
I think he's going to be the first, like, gut punch. Because there's no one who doesn't like Tyrion.
Yeah.
And they've been happy to kill heroic characters before. And he started flawed and is now seemingly basically a good guy.
And he's kind of fulfilled his purpose, hasn't he?
Yeah, there's a lot of characters who have a place to go.
Mm.
He's just Hand of the Queen.
Yeah.
So he's going to die. Feels like.
I'm not sure.
I think it'll be big and heroic. I don't think it's going to be meaningless. And I think it will give it will spur someone on.
Yeah.
But I can't see him living at the end.
Okay.
Fair enough. Go on now.
My next one is John will die in sacrifice, great sacrifice.
Again.
With Daenerys. Yes, but I feel like that's.
Seen it.
But the reason he's been brought back is because he has a final purpose to achieve. And that purpose is going to be helping Daenerys, like, achieve not necessarily the Iron Throne, but leadership of some kind.
Mm.
And then I also think before he dies, he has Dany up the duff. And that baby the king, the proper king in years to come.
Do you think they'll
be start a new dynasty?
Do you think? I kept thinking that. Do you think there'll be like an epilogue, which is like a flash forward, like 20 years?
I'd like to think not. I like leave
Parks
it to
and
Rec.
Exactly like
no,
that. Yeah.
God, no. But I think that child will be sort of, it's the culmination of Ice and Fire, but it's also, you know, our two main characters, I don't think either of them are really the one to achieve. It's them coming together that really
solidifies very modern concern with the idea that incest is the only way to do anything.
It worked for the Targaryens for a long time.
It worked for Targaryens, it worked for Pornhub. Well, who's next?
Worked for the Lannisters a bit.
I don't know if it did.
Well, they
made a couple of kings, to be fair. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
It's gone done better than most.
You know, well, a little time on the throne's better than no time on the throne.
Seaworth, lots of legitimate children. Where are they? Dead.
Yeah. He in the one, fucking. Didn't he?
No, he has all those. He has the boys, doesn't he? Aren't there a load of boys on those boats, or is that in the books?
I don't know about the books in the TV show. He only has one son.
Oh, in the books, he's got a load of kids, and they all die in that battle.
Ooh, bloody hell.
Anyway, my second one. All the dragons will die. There will be no more dragons again. Those three dragons, it will return to how the series started. It'll be a land of forgotten dragons.
I can see that. They're like, the reason they've been brought back purpose. Is to fulfill a purpose and get rid of the White Walkers, and then once that's all gone,
yep.
It's like fresh start.
I feel like, yeah, that she's, well, she's not the last of the Targaryens anymore, is she? But what if the baby that they have is like a scale baby, like a half dragon?
A grayscale, or yeah, do you mean half a dragon,
like a fire breathing toddler?
What, like the freaking
fire breathing toddler?
That's not one of my predictions. I don't want that down as an official.
You just changed your mind.
All
there.
The dragons. No, I want all the dragons will die. I don't want the fire breathing toddler down as an official Magic prediction.
Fire breathing toddler.
I do not want that. Number three, Joe. I think we all, for our third one, we've all gone for one that's a bit silly.
Yeah.
Because I have.
Ah, so. Maybe I can change it.
Actually. Oh, you don't have to.
I like my third one. I want to go with that.
Okay, go for it. Here we go. I'm going to paint a picture for you. In a long shot, we see Dany and the Night King. Is it Dany or Dany?
Dany.
Daenerys.
Yeah, but some people say Dany.
Everyone Dany.
We see Dany and the Night King, each riding one of their dragons, okay. Either side of the shot, right? And they're charging at each other, and they're screaming, and their armies are dead and dying around them. It's the final. No! They're like, so they're flying at each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming in, and just as they're about to reach each other, the camera pans down, and we never, it's like Soprano style, we never see the end.
No,
but in the dirt,
but in the dirt,
there's a rusty old sign that's been dug up by foot scuffs of the battle as people fought each other. And the sign says, Nando's.
What?
And it's all taken
place. Like Planet of the
Apes? In future Britain.
That was our planet.
Yeah. They blew it up.
I was going to spoil another film there, but I was. It's so weird how mine and yours are very similar.
Oh, really?
Our brains work scarily similar.
Okay. So mine, I suspect, isn't as silly as these two. But my last one is that Jaime Lannister will be the 1,000th Lord Commander of the Night's Watch afterwards. Because we're on, I believe
That's so lore-based.
Yeah, it's just, I think, why establish that? Like, Jon Snow was the 998th commander. Why that pick that number if we're not going to show the thousandth? Can't speak. The thousandth one. There we go. I've got it. I can't speak.
It's me that normally can't speak.
No, right, yeah. I feel like he's riding north at the end of season 7. He's looking to do his honourable duty, and I feel like that's a place for him to sort of
the one
spend
character,
the rest of his days.
This is not linked to my prediction or yours particularly, but I was just wondering, I don't know what Sam's purpose is going to be in all of this.
It's going to be a maester in King's Landing or something like that.
If he's going to survive, he'll be Grand Maester.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that at the Citadel, like, the Grand Maester keeps saying you've got a lot of potential and things like that, it's obvious that's where he's kind of going.
Yep. Okay, my third one. Does anyone know of the, I believe it's American, I might be wrong here, drama that used to be on called Saint Elsewhere?
Oh, the Globe?
Here we go.
The Snow Globe.
So, if you don't know what Saint Elsewhere is, I think it was like a 6-season long like medical drama, all based in a hospital, and it had a mad twist right at the end of this 6-season run where all of the events of this drama were taking place in one of the characters' son's snow globes.
Yeah, it's mad.
It's an absolutely mad twist, and I'm sorry if I've ruined Saint Elsewhere for you, but you weren't going to watch it.
What's the meaning of it?
Is
there anything in the show that implies that could be happening?
I've not watched it. I just know of it.
It's like the end of Men in Black, mate, when you're just in a marble.
But that makes sense in the tone of Men in Black. If it's just ER, but they're in a fucking snow globe.
But anyway, this is what I think is going to happen in Game of Thrones. It's not what I think is actually going to happen. So, like, the intro sequence it'll zoom out. And it turns out it's actually...
in a clockwork machine.
No, it's the opening of a video game. And we zoom out and we're in a sweaty child's bedroom who's playing a Total War-like sim. And it's all happened inside a Total War game. Imagine how funny that would be.
It would be.
The outrage would be really funny.
I won't lie, I would love it. I would love it.
Or a tabletop game. It could be anything. It zooms out and it's the Stranger Things kids
it's just
playing
fucking,
Dungeons and Dragons.
It's just Warhammer.
Warhammer. I would... Or, do you know, I would... I'd love something mad. It's obviously not going to happen.
No, yeah.
But something mad like that where... 1 in 100 people like me, who's a bit of a masochist, would just go, that's brilliant.
Imagine if all these actors have been doing all these junkets, they're like, we can't tell you the end. And you just detected this note of sadness in their eyes. Yeah. They're like, I can't tell you the end because you won't believe me. Like, it's a fucking game.
It's all a game.
Or we've been promised something that's a bittersweet ending, haven't
yeah.
we? So... What do we
it's
really?
It's always going to end that way. The whole program's bittersweet.
It isn't. It's always bitter. Where's the
bits.
Sweet?
Sweet bits. Sweet bits everywhere.
I know what sweet bits you're talking about.
All the killings, of course.
There was a funny thing that someone who pointed out the upswing on views on the When I Died series when it hit the episode with Roz in it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
Yeah. We can see where your mind is.
The internet never fails to let you down.
But yeah, those are our predictions. I would be surprised if any of mine are true.
If I could say to you both, who's a character you 100% think survives?
Survives?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone 100% survives.
Arya?
See, I think another one of my backup ones was going to be that she kills Cersei. I feel like she had that list for so long.
She only ever killed
Meryn Trant off it.
I suppose. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, I always thought that Jaime would be the one to kill Cersei.
Potentially, yeah. Or Arya wearing Jaime's face.
Ooh,
what if Arya stabs Jaime?
There's got to be some face stuff. There's got to be some face stuff going on.
What if Arya stabs Jaime, but it catches him by surprise and he goes, "Ugh!" and slices off Cersei's head in a sort of jerky reaction?
Lovely.
I'd like to see it.
I think Daenerys is 100% surviving.
Really?
Only because... the wheels have been set in motion for the longest time that she is the rightful ruler of Westeros. So I feel like you've got to deliver that at the end. I feel like that's inevitable.
Yeah. I've said it for a long time. I didn't do it as one of predictions. I would just love it if the White Walkers win. If the Night King just sits on the throne and then freezes over. That.
Flips the bird on the TV.
You can't stop them. They're an unstoppable force. It would be brilliant.
It's all about
so that won't happen.
Climate change, innit?
No. Just there, he puts the little crown on. He's like, bring me wine. And that's it. He just starts living his best King's Landing life.
And just ends with the line, hey, bring me wine. We spent all this time and that's his voice.
Bring me wine.
Imagine if he has a little squeaky
voice. Welcome. Where's my wife?
Welcome to hell. Do you know where else was hell?
Oh, God.
The film Hellboy.
All right.
Comes out.
You haven't seen it, mate.
Well, no, but there's hell in the film. It's Hellboy.
Right, okay.
I haven't said it's hell. There is hell in the film. It's called Hellboy. There's a boy from hell.
He is a boy from hell. He's
You've
very much
seen
a man
it, Dale.
From hell, though, to be honest. Mm.
You have seen it.
I have seen it.
I believe it's out today. This week.
Yeah, it's out today. Out. Well, yeah. Friday when they listen to this. Yes.
It's, from what I've read, not good.
I think some people are being perhaps harsher than it deserves, but it's not... I would not recommend watching it. Let's put it that way.
An easy yes
Ever.
Or no.
Netflix.
On. Maybe on Netflix. If you were really interested or are playing, yeah. But it's very try-hardy across the board, but it's just a bit of a mess, to be honest.
A quick yes or no. Is it better than the Del Toro ones?
So,
I think that's fairly good films.
I think that's pretty much a no, although I can barely remember. I watched them when they very first came out. I have hardly any memory of them.
I know what you mean. I've seen both of them, and I remember quite enjoying them, but I couldn't tell you anything about them.
I watched Golden Army the other day, and it has not held up as much as I thought it would. Mm. I remember it being a big improvement over the first one.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite... In the current superhero landscape, it's quite odd to see... stuff that doesn't fit that mold anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where it's quite flippant and silly, and there's lots of bits that are just there as a joke.
Okay.
When we're so used to comic book characters being treated with like respect for their stories.
Okay.
Hellboy's just fucking annoying in it. He's horrible. He's just a prick to everyone, yeah. And you're meant to like him.
So the one thing I would say, I did like David Harbour as Hellboy.
Yeah.
I found him like quite endearing, although he spends the entirety of the film trying to be funny and it never lands. Like almost never lands. I barely raise a smile the entire film.
Yeah.
And it's constant quips, constantly trying to make
that
jokes.
It's one, yeah, potential issue I had with it. I haven't seen it yet, but
from the trailer.
From the trailer stuff that he's good in Stranger Things. Is he a lead actor in something? I don't know.
But that's the same as Ron Perlman.
Yeah
which
he's alright in Hellboy.
Yeah. He's fine.
Well, how's Big Mo?
You saw her in the trailer, right?
Mm, yeah.
You've seen her in the film.
What?
That's pretty much it. She has like two lines of dialogue.
That's insane.
Like in two shots. That's so bullshit. Barely that was disappointing. I thought overall though, it's just a bit of a mess. Like
it did
they
from
don't
the
really
trailer,
they
yeah.
just they start in a world where Hellboy exists. And it's like, you know, how Marvel do their origin stories now where that person exists and then they filter in elements of their backstory in between. But with Hellboy, they never felt like they filtered in enough, and I could barely remember his character. And I was just like, so is everyone just cool with monsters being in this world? Like, all this supernatural stuff going on, it's never really explained. So
they not explain his origin at all. They do, kind of,
but it's sort of like halfway into the film and it's in a flashback, narrated flashback, and it's so brief. And they still, yeah, it's... they just show a scene with the Nazis sort of raising him, like you know, it's not a spoiler to say that happens in the other film as well. But I just always felt like I was so confused about what's going on. But it seems like there's more scenes focused on like being a music video, like it's just massive rock songs like Muse or Royal Blood and him just fighting giants and beasts.
That's
and
the feeling I got from the trailer, because I remember the last trailer I watched, it looked like one of those. Similar to when I watched the Justice League trailer, I was like, how are they fitting all of this into one film and it being coherent?
The first half, it runs so fast. Like, one bit he's in Mexico, then he's in England, and then it's just fighting all these different kinds of creatures that you never ever see again. And it was like, it was just an excuse for a fight scene like, oh, we've got a cool design for a giant, let's put that in there. Mm-hmm. But they didn't really add anything to the big story of the film. It was just excuses for him to have fights. Basically.
And defend Earth.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, I don't think it was that bad. We gave it a 4. I think for me, it's more like a 5 or 6, really. But it's still, I wouldn't recommend anyone go to the cinema to see it.
Yeah,
that's Dale's birthday review of Hellboy. I'm glad everyone enjoyed. Do you know who else defends Earth, Joe?
Yeah,
the Earth Defense Force.
There we go. Now it explains why you said that complete non sequitur a few minutes ago.
Well, gotta do it.
Earth Defense Force Iron Reign is out yesterday.
Tell me about, because I'm not gonna lie to you, Joe. Before I saw you playing this game and reviewing it for IGN.
Yeah. I was interested.
No, I wasn't interested. I don't know if I'd even heard of Earth Defense Force. I'm gonna say it. I know nothing about it.
Yeah.
Tell me.
It's a series of Japanese games that joyously invoke classic B movies. So there's giant insects, there's UFOs, and there's kaiju, and you're just a little soldier trying to blow them all up for ages. And that's basically it. It's sci-fi Dynasty Warriors in many respects, and that's why I love it.
Was it on first on PS4?
I think it must have been.
It definitely feels like a PS1 game.
Yeah.
It always has the presentation of PS1.
100%. Like, it's so
It still looks
completely
like
old school. Yep, it looks like... But that's the thing, is this one, Iron Reign, is it's a spin-off from the main series. So there's this one developer, Sandlot, who's made 5 games, plus they always do, like, 4.1 and all that shit. Mm-hmm. There was a game called Earth Defense Force 4.1, The Shadow of New Despair.
Jesus Christ.
If you want to know what kind of shit we're dealing with here. This is Yuke's, who do the WWE 2K games.
Oh, right.
Which is very odd.
Yeah.
They have a sneaky little reference to that in the game where someone goes, there's like... This is the first Earth Defense Force game where they're trying to treat it with any serious storyline at all. And
why?
It's so funny. Like, I can't tell whether it's serious or not. They've got like all this like social political context for like what's going on in the world after the aliens invade and stuff. But what it amounts to is usually you're walking around with a bunch of generic soldiers, and in this one you're part of a squad, and there's like people doing hammy acting as being like, "Hey Brenda, where are you going after work?" And there's this one guy called Takuma, and he's like the leader of the squad, and he's a wise Japanese man.
Isn't he
and he says,
"Star Trek character Takuma."
Oh, that's Takuvma.
Takuvma.
You know that because of Timor.
Yeah.
They keep referencing, he keeps like bringing up Japanese sayings to explain things, and then one guy's like, "You and your sayings, this guy's just a bonus boss." And someone goes, "A bonus boss?" He goes, "Yeah, from video games." Another guy goes, "I remember video games. I liked my wrestling game." And it's just, it's the most labored point to get to. Yuke's make wrestling games. Anyway, Iron Rein is Yuke's basically taking this on. They're clearly fans of the series because it has all the hallmarks of the normal thing, but they've moved it into Unreal Engine, so it looks a bit shinier, but also somehow a bit shitter at the same time. It performs quite badly because it's a nicer looking engine, but they still want to have hundreds of characters on screen at one time, so it chugs a bit, especially on standard. Oh, not even close.
Does it try to run at 60?
I don't think so. I think it's a 30. Mm. It does display in 4K on Pro, which is mad. Like, it doesn't need
to. You don't need that. You don't need that.
Yeah. You don't want to look that close.
Exactly.
That.
It's a closer look at a load of shite.
I'd rather see a flower from a mile away than a pile of shit from an inch.
Nice. I love it. There's usually that's one of the sayings in the game, actually.
I did write Earth Defense Force.
But the thing about it is, it feels like what they've tried to do is make a game that makes EDF accessible to plebs like you guys who don't like it.
Plebs?
Yeah, plebs. Yeah. And then what they've actually done is just slapped a skin on a normal EDF game and changed a few of the mechanics. So fans look at it and they're like, "Oh, that's different, and that's different." But to anyone else, it's still exactly the same load of mad bullshit going on. And like, you either like that or you don't. If you don't like the idea of that game already, this will do nothing to change your mind. But if you already like it, it's a really interesting little experiment in seeing how it can work differently.
I'm going to put it out there now. It's not for me.
Yeah.
But the one thing that did intrigue me while I was watching you play was, I believe you had one weapon even that contained a small star.
Well, it fires a projectile that has the energy of a small star.
Bloody hell.
And it can do that every 30 seconds.
Surely that's just destroying half the planet.
Yeah.
I mean, not a really, small though, star is still a sun.
Yeah, isn't it? It's mad. It's so stupid. I love it. If you want to see what that looks like, I put up a clip of it on my Twitter because I find it so funny. Also, there's a character called Dr. Mengele, which is a bad name for a German doctor.
Okay. Not on.
And he has one of the maddest voice acting performances I have ever heard in my life.
Is he the one that has the clip that you've got in the video review? Right, I'm going to find that clip. Carry on talking. I want to find, because I want to play that clip.
It's so funny. It's just him. He's like this. I don't think he can be German, because I don't know where he gets that voice from. Yeah. It doesn't sound like a real human.
It
ever
does
said
sound
it.
Like one of us trying to sound like a Nazi doctor, which isn't on.
Yeah, it's kind
it's just
of strange.
Frankly not on.
But he's a good guy. There's no twist. I totally thought Dr. Mengele. Oh, yeah, he's not Mengele. He's Mengele.
Did you get an SS rank on that mission?
There are no SS ranks, so I don't want to hear that from
I've
you.
Got it.
Here we go. Are we just dropping this in?
I'm just going to play it over the mic.
Particularly as English voiceover artists throw themselves wholeheartedly into seriously hammy performances.
In my opinion, I postulate that is a creature from another planet.
He carries on to say, it's not analogous with life on Earth.
I've never heard someone make the word planet last about 3 seconds.
It's fucking amazing. Basically, if you listen to that and went, I'd like to play a game that includes voice acting like that, you'll like Iron Rein. I think it's actually quite a good litmus test. If you think that's stupid crap, you're probably completely right.
Move aside in your opinion.
I liked it. It's good.
So from one game I'm never going to play, sadly, to one that I'm now going to start playing, which I've always wanted to play and never have.
Labored.
It's not labored. You're labored, mate. Mm-hmm. Go home. Sea of Thieves. You have
had a sneak preview about the anniversary update.
Yes, year 2 of Sea of Thieves.
Yeah.
New stuff coming. I might even tonight jump in for the first time to Sea of Thieves. Because
dive in.
It looks good. Dive in. I will. Tell us. Come on.
It's the anniversary update is what's being referred to as a mega update by Rare. I had the pleasure of going up to Rare for the second year in a row, which is really nice. They're lovely up there. And they've got a lovely place in the countryside.
It is wicked.
It's mad. We were talking about this, actually, just as a slight aside, because they've got this crazy campus in the middle of nowhere in the countryside. And I just, whenever I go, I'm like, I could 100% work in these conditions. Yeah. This would be great. Apparently, tons of people go and just like go mad. Not what? Mad. They don't kill people and stuff. But they're just like, they just go there and they're like, there's nothing to do. Oh, right. I can't do anything.
And he's like, in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, but if you work there, give a shit. Yeah. Anyway. Sea of Thieves anniversary update is loads of things. So they've got added this thing called the Hunter's Call, which is like a whole section of the game based around like fishing and cooking. Mm. The fishing's gonna would destroy you.
Yeah.
Because it's like 50 fish.
If there's achievement for every fish,
hard to find.
You don't care about Xbox achievements, do you?
I don't actually, but I don't have an Xbox at home, that's why.
But they're like hidden all over the place. They only come out at certain times if you use certain baits and all that kind of
right,
stuff.
Yeah.
They've added harpoon guns, which are amazing. I didn't get to mention this in my preview, and it's quite sad because the harpoon guns will attach to anything. So you can use them for, like, if a megalodon goes by, you can attach to it. And
there's
like,
megalodons in this game.
Yeah, that's been added recently.
I should have started this way earlier.
You can attach to it and, like, drag behind it. You can use it to board other ships by pulling them towards you or pulling yourself towards them. You can use it on people.
Yes, that was my question. And does it kill the person?
It doesn't kill the person.
Good.
But what? So we tried for ages, and sadly, we never managed this. Honestly, me, a guy from Rare, and two other journalists tried this for, I think, about 15 minutes during quite a time-limited section where we were firing one person out of a cannon, then trying to catch them with the harpoon out of the air. Like clay pigeon harpooning. Someone will do that on day one, and I will applaud them.
Did they say, the guy read, did he say that can actually...
Yeah, we were playing with the design director. Yeah. He was like, this works.
Oh, amazing.
But we just haven't done it. The funniest part was I got bored, and this skeleton like popped out of the beach, but he was holding a barrel of gunpowder, and I was just like, go on then. Hooked him and he just flew over and the whole ship exploded and one of our masts fell down. Actually there's expanded ship damage now as well, so masts can be shot down.
What about with, sorry, back to the harpoon.
Yes.
What about if somebody else, a rival, was carrying treasure, could you harpoon the treasure out of their hands and
point
it towards you?
I think what would happen is you'd hook them and they'd come with the treasure.
Oh, right. Okay.
But that's even funnier because then they get onto your ship and you're like, slice!
And then you murk them and you take their ship.
Exactly.
Easy.
There's like expanded ship damage, so you can blow up masts for the first time, which is kind of cool. They've balanced it quite a lot because a lot of people are like, oh, that's going to be really annoying.
Yeah.
They take a few hits each and they can be repaired just like the rest of the ship. Even if it falls down, you get like ropes and pull it back up, and it's not that different.
I
mean,
the main thing that grabbed my attention, which is partly why I want to join in, is the campaign mode.
Yeah, so they've added two major parts. So they've done all that stuff, which is sort of fits seamlessly alongside everything else as you know it. But then there's these two bits that are way bigger, and they're calling them platforms. So these are both ideas that they want to run with in perpetuity. Mm-hmm. One of them is Tall Tales, which is their campaign structure, which is really what was in my head as to what Sea of Thieves quests would be when it first started.
Me too, yeah.
So you go to a tavern guy. He's like, this is the tale of the Shores of Gold, which is the current campaign. It's a 9-episode campaign, and each episode is a separate quest that links together, but they're told by different stories.
Yeah.
So he hands you a journal, and he's like, here's your journal, that's your clues. And you're like, all right. So you open it up, and it's 10 pages.
That's exactly what I want.
And that's all you ever get.
10 pages?
Well, for this one first bit. So it's like a 10-page journal. You go through it. And it's like, there's scrawls and doodles and codes and stuff.
But is it things like when you read a certain element and then it adds it to a log and then it puts a waypoint? Or is it actually, you actually have to decipher
everything
it?
Comes from
it's
that.
It's an actual treasure hunt.
So there's no, like the rest of Sea of Thieves, there's never a map. There's barely a map.
Yeah.
There's no waypoint markers. There's none of that. It's just.
Good.
So the first thing that happened, like, I think if my memory serves, we had to work out where a place was based on the shape of the island, and
I remember doing that when we played it, actually. Yeah. There was something like, we had to look and sort of match the shape of iron on the map.
So you're finding that, but this is like a story at the same time. So it's telling the story of this ship that went down, having found this thing and got chased by an evil pirate ship and all this stuff. So you're going through, you're finding the island you need to go to, you find a chest buried in a shipwreck. That chest has got more pages for your journal, which add to the story and add more clues. And so you're literally building a storybook as you play.
It's like the Goonies
that you get to read. It's fucking, it's proper pirate shit.
They've taken a bit of Obra Dinn-ness from
they've
it.
Taken, it is Obra Dinn-y, and then when you get to a place, there's a place. It leads you eventually to, in this first episode, to a treasure vault, which is hidden behind a big stone, as you'd hope. And it opens up, and there's like clues daubed on the walls and stuff. All of which, by the way, has been in the game since day one.
That's amazing.
Like, Apparently, I asked the designer.
So, did you just accidentally stumble across them?
No. You never could. So, the design director said, when the game first came out, I asked our team to point me to islands that would have, that could have places where treasure was hidden.
Right.
So that the idea being, we've not retconned the world, we've not updated the world and made it different.
Okay, nothing actually existed in them, but there was a potential of a doorway.
Idea was always like, it's just as if the key didn't exist yet, no one had found it, and everyone's finding it
that
out.
That is cool.
Another amazing part of this is, in our one, it was like this island that's covered in pictures of scarabs, which again has been in the game since the first game, and the key we got to get into this vault was a scarab key. But the game dynamically alters what island you get sent to on your quest to keep you away from other players. So it's like most of the players are in that corner of the map, so you're going over here.
That's cool.
Which means it also has to dynamically alter the journal, the island, the shape of the key, the stuff. All of this stuff is created.
This sounds a nightmare to build.
Yeah. It's fucking amazing. Like, I can't believe it works. And maybe it won't, because it hasn't come out. But it worked for me. Like getting in there. And then this vault is basically a crystal maze challenge. You're all in this room. The door closes behind
which
you.
Which crystal maze challenge?
Pirate zone. The door closes behind you. Everyone's stuck in there. But if the door closes with people outside, that's it. They're not in the room to help you.
It's one of your mates playing a harmonica outside.
Exactly. Like, you've got accordions and shit. Get out. So you get stuck in this room. Water comes out of a fountain. And then it doesn't tell you what to do. So you're just like, right, looking around. The first thing someone in our group did was like go, big button, pushed it.
Oh, no.
It goes wrong. Yeah. More water starts pouring in. And that can happen like multiple times. So you can keep getting it wrong and keep filling it up. But it turns out,
amazing.
But it turns out there's like a code in your journal for things in that room, which is again dynamically.
And can the guy in the room see it, or do people have to shout instructions?
Everyone's got a book, so there's not one journal shared between everyone. Right. It's as if you've all got copies.
But you can all shout instructions too.
Exactly. So we were doing it, and I was suddenly like, those codes! I saw those codes earlier! And like, we started moving things around and like solving the puzzle.
It's a Da Vinci code.
It's fucking wicked, man. It's so cool.
Can you do this by yourself?
Yeah.
Like, would it work properly, do you think?
Yeah, it'd be fine. It'd be hard. You've got to do a bit of combat. I don't know how much it scales with you. But in the end, we're like picking up the thing that you have to pick up, which means you can't do any combat. So everyone's like protecting from skeletons chasing us as we all run down the beach back to our ship. And like, it's what Sea of Thieves should be. Yeah. It is all there. It's
I think
amazing.
It's a game you want to play with people anyway, isn't 100%. It? That's half the fun.
When you went there to Red, did they do any sort of presentation talking about how well the game has sold or anything like that? Because...
So
did it do well enough to keep this going?
This is their weird thing. Like, it's going well. There's a lot of players. But they've also said that it's... I think he said at a Rezzed thing the other day, Joe Neat, the executive producer, who also referenced the fact that he called me a motherfucker while we played. We'll get on to why. He said it's 50-50 between Game Pass and actual sales.
Right.
So it's hard to... No one knows how Microsoft pays people for being Game Pass games. Yeah. So it's not clear. They will introduce microtransactions at some point this year. Right, so I think that's clear that it's like, we now need the next influx. But that microtransaction thing is like pets, which is something I could totally see me wanting
anyway. Well, I mean, I'm hopeful that it's like No Man's Sky, where they just, you know, they built up this core audience and now they just keep giving you stuff over and over again.
But I think that's the idea with this. Like, the studio head, Craig Duncan, in an interview with me, basically said, we're treating this as much as it's kind of for us, because it's like stuff we wanted to make.
Yeah.
But it's kind of for the fans who always wanted these kinds of things. But it's also meant to open the thing up and go, it's an entry point. Like, it's so changed now that you're coming in at a time where everyone's going to be new to it. Mm-hmm. And genuinely, like you are, I think it's the best time to do it. I think get in now, just before April 30th, familiarize yourself, and then... I'm genuinely more excited for Sea of Thieves even than I was before release. Like, awesome. I really want to play.
And all those, is it, you said 9 or 10 episodes?
Yeah.
They're all just available at the start. They're not like dripping out.
It's not episodically released. Okay. It's just episodically structured.
And did they give an idea, like, are they like an hour each? Or?
So this one was the first and the easiest, and that took us about an hour.
Okay.
There were other crews who took like an hour and a half.
Okay.
So you can...
Just saying you're good. basically.
We had a guy who put 600 hours into the game. We had the design director and the guy who played 600
hours.
You probably
do it all right then.
It was good. So they estimate, like, I think around 15 hours for the full campaign, which is
decent.
For a free campaign is pretty good. And then the other half of this, I know I've spoken for ages, is the arena, which is a full separate PvP mode. The only connection with the main game is that you can earn cosmetics in there that you can wear in the main game, which is fucking hilarious. So it's a game in which five ships of four people are put into a tiny map with, like, I think about four or five islands. Everyone starts with a map and everyone sees the same treasure spots on the maps, and it's just a race to dig up the treasure and cash it in. And it's so evil. It's amazing. So, like, that's why Joe Neat called me a motherfucker, because I was trying to get onto his ship to kill him so that we could cash in the treasure and
did
take
you do
the
it?
Lead. Yeah. No, he beat me. His words were actually, "Have that, motherfucker," when he shot me in the water. And it was just like, it's just so exciting, because it's the everyone's going to the same places and trying to fuck each other in different ways. So, like, three people have gone to one island, and one other person goes, okay, well, that's the closest cash-in point. People are naturally going to go there.
Let's wait.
I'll just sail my ship over there, fire two or three of our crew, hide on the ship, sail the ship away, and then they all just stand there and kill the people dropping the treasure off. As soon as we took the lead, I started digging up treasure chests. You get a little points bonus for digging them up and a bigger points bonus for cashing them in. I was just digging them up, just throwing them in the sea. Just being like, fuck it. Like, I'm winning. If they can't get those points, it doesn't matter. It's just hilarious.
How long does that game mode last?
That's 24 minutes around. So the idea
24?
Is... Yeah. Don't know why. I do. It's because a full day-night cycle is 24 minutes. But it's so funny. And it's just... It's an amazing time to be like... I only have half an hour to play Sea of Thieves. Just stick in one arena match.
So is there a limit to the amount of treasure there is in that area? You keep going until...
Every time a map's exhausted, everyone's
refreshes.
Given new maps. But it can give you up to, like, three.
Oh, okay.
One time we had three maps for the same island, which meant that island spawned, like, 12 treasure chests. So people physically couldn't get it off the island.
Yeah.
So they started hiding it in places around the island to come back, like, proper pirate shit.
That's
it's amazing.
Good. And we've spoke about this before, and we never actually did, but we definitely need to get four of us playing at work together at lunchtime. Especially that mode. Sounds like perfect thing to play at lunchtime.
Exactly.
We can just dive in for half an hour.
Yeah, stick into rounds at lunch and you'll just have an amazing time. Because it doesn't matter if you lose, it's really funny.
Exactly.
Yeah. And just never, it's always satisfying just finding treasure, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, that is what you do in the game, isn't
100%.
It? 100%. The endless search for treasure.
Oh, here you go.
The endless search is our quiz.
It's not our quiz.
It's not a quiz, search
well,
for
it's
quiz.
Your, it's your quiz this week, Joe.
It is. Well, it's not my quiz. It's a man called, get this, Stuart Lee.
Oh, are we doing
the Stuart Lee?
Are we putting in the jingle?
Oh, we will.
Oh, I was going to let Joe do
we
that.
We can put it in.
Yeah.
Right now. Inside, it's a UK IGN crew. Yeah. Yeah, and ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we coming through. Yeah, and ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it in the search? Yeah, Dale, there's your jingle.
Oh, I'm happy.
Code Marla, legends
in the game.
She's birthday,
you can decide when the jingle goes in.
Before the quiz, that's where I want it.
It's going, it's gone, it's happened.
So Stuart Lee DM'd me. Ooh. Because he wanted to...
Slide into your DMs?
He slid into my DMs to give me a game.
He wanted the secret.
Because he didn't want you people seeing
it. Yeah, exactly.
And let me tell you...
Very clever. It's very smart.
It's a banger. It's very classic endless search fare.
Okay. Is there five rounds and
is there a link
that count backwards?
Yeah, but no links.
All right, okay.
Not that I'm aware of. The link is we talk about, and never mind. Anyway, basically, he calls it Can't Get Past That, which is based on one of these things.
Okay.
The idea is that he's taken... weird one-star reviews from IMDb and Amazon.
Okay.
And put them in order of obviousness, and you just guess what films they're of.
So they're not necessarily bad films, they're just one-star
They're
review.
All critically acclaimed films, which makes it way better.
Wait, so are we guessing the rating, or are we guessing,
guessing the film?
No, they're all one-star reviews. You're guessing the film based on these clips of quotes.
I don't think of any one-star films.
What? That's not the point, Dale.
No,
I've missed this completely.
They're very famous, highly regarded films that have had user reviews of one star.
I thought you meant the average review.
Nah, me.
I don't know any of those films.
It's way better than what you've just made it sound like. So we've got five films, and each one gets five clips of user reviews.
Okay.
I've used Stuart Lee's bass, but I've moved some of it around because I was like, some of these are a bit easy.
Okay.
So this isn't all your work, Stuart.
It's a good idea, though.
But I think it's wicked. So he said, can you guess these critically acclaimed films from crazy one-star reviews that they've received on Amazon and IMDb? These are all lines from real reviews.
On
He's
Amazon
copied them.
As well. Mm.
Yeah, I've mostly done at IMDb, so there's a few Amazons in there.
Sweet.
Also, just as some bonus facts, I'm going to tell you how many total reviews they got and how many were one stars on IMDb, because I think it's quite fun.
Okay.
Film number one.
Do you think these, sorry, do you think these are all genuine reviews these or are, people are taking the piss and trying to be fun? Is
most,
it hard to tell?
Most of them are like legit
gripes.
Angry, like boring people.
Yeah.
Like they swing wildly from people who think they're really, really smart and use all the wrong long words, or people who can't write and are just insane.
Okay, right.
You probably recognise one or two of these, though. You've probably written.
I love this. Here we go.
Brilliant. Do not chew gum when you're on the podcast.
5 points. Film number one. I find it really difficult to believe that this movie is rated highly by people. It's hands down the worst movie I've seen in my life. 58 years. When my wife and I went to see it soon after it came out, multiple people walked out of the theater saying either it was a terrible movie and or it sickened them. The overall movie has the feel of being viewed through the eyes of someone high on bad drugs.
Reservoir Dogs.
No.
The Blair Witch Project.
No.
How many guesses do we...
I think one each for these, because some of them are quite...
Okay,
down to 4 points. I rent the film because the fact that it's number 9 on IMDb 250 list and my friend highly recommend the film. So I watched it last night. I couldn't believe my eye. What a piece of garbage filmmaking this is.
Oh.
The whole film is mostly consist of boring and cheesy dialogue in which have at least a million F-word in it.
Pulp Fiction?
Correct.
Oh, well done, Caddy.
I'm going to read you the rest.
That's
really
mad. Told me number 9 on the IMDb list.
That's mad.
What is it on IMDb, though?
It's high. It's like 5 or 6.
Is it really? By the way, I agree with most of these people. I hate Pulp Fiction.
You hate it?
I think it's genuinely a bad film.
Don't talk.
Well, you're just
though it should be a parody about narcotics and boxing, it is only funny sometimes.
A parody about boxing?
Yes,
no
so
point
weird.
Is it ever supposed to be
about
boxing?
I like this one. Gratuitously violent and indulgent. Everyone wants to talk about the humour of someone going over a bump and someone being shot. How hilarious is that?
It is.
This comment is meant to be ironic.
Shot Marvin in the face.
I note this for the Hollywood saturated brain dead.
Oh,
wow.
The film is really just a sign of a sick culture. And then...
it's a reflection of a sick culture. Get it right, mate.
1 point. No, really, this film is a mess. I mean, John Travolta dies halfway through and then pops up at the end.
Spoilers.
Completely missing.
Brilliant.
Just as the bonus fact. Pulp Fiction, this is actually quite a high ratio. 2,588 total reviews, 127 one-star reviews.
I mean, in my mind, it's brilliant. I know people that don't like it, and I can understand why people wouldn't like it.
But I would never write one of those.
And Tarantino is not for everyone.
No.
I could not understand anybody not liking it 1 star.
Yeah, that's enough.
That's insane. Yeah. Surely you can appreciate
you can find
certain
something.
Merit.
In it.
Yeah.
Film.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, go for it.
Film number two. There's a lot of noise that passes for action, but the action is shot in such a way that you don't really know what's going on. This is not how to make a movie. Oh, sorry. This is how not to make a movie.
Transformers?
No. Remember, critically acclaimed.
Oh, shit, yeah, sorry.
I'm going to go Predator.
No. It was such a shame to see a sequel as lame as this made from one of the better sci-fi movies of
all
time. No.
Terminator 2.
Terminator 2! That was quite an easy one for a four-pointer, but that's fine. 4 points each. How did the character develop into this guerrilla warfare extraordinaire without any formal training in a limited time and stay sharp enough while under psychotic medication to stay alive for more than 5 minutes?
Very
I don't
good
know if
point.
It's limited time, it's like 8 years.
And then this is where the name of the quiz...
It's a limited time span, to be fair.
This is where the name of the quiz came from. Sorry, can't get past that.
Wait, it's more than 8 years, because he's like 12. John Connor's like 12, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, simply, a long time.
Simply throws together a whole pile of things that would appeal to the comic book generation. Big guns, throbbing motorbikes.
Throbbing motorbikes.
And the kind of silly set pieces that are designed purely to whoop up an audience which has few demands.
Wait, was 1991 the comic book generation?
Apparently.
I've never been, never heard any sort of machine described as
throbbing motorbikes. And then, I actually really like this. This is funny. The films are horribly written movies about machines coming back from the future to destroy a guy who's supposed to be all that and a box of Cracker Jacks. He isn't.
For some reason, I pictured Snacker Jacks.
I love that he's angry that the boy isn't all that.
Oh, well. He's a flawed character. What?
Film number three. I dearly hope that the director learned his lesson from this disgraceful farce, so clearly engineered for people with an 8-year-old mentality. Me being elitist? Possibly. A case of mass mental illness? Probably.
Star Wars?
No.
I have no idea. So, 2001 Space Odyssey?
No. Of course, mass. Then come those obnoxious children. Can anyone even stand children in movies anymore? I can't.
Then but come those obnoxious children.
Yeah. The Goonies.
No.
Obnoxious children. The Shining.
No. Everything in this movie is horrible, except for the special effects.
Mm.
Everything is
Harry
horrible.
Potter.
No. Oh. Not that critically acclaimed, is it?
People like it, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, say that last one again.
Everything in this movie is horrible, except for the special effects.
Fuck. I don't know what I'm blanking, so I'm going to say Return of the King.
No.
Those are hobbits, not children, Dale.
What? I read that film completely.
I really like this. I think you'll get it from this. It also doesn't succeed in hiding a few unlikelinesses. One of the two children is a victim of a strong electric shock. And
Jurassic
however,
Park.
Yeah. And however, actor name manages to save him. I love that. That's a 1-star review. And then, of course,
imagine thinking Jurassic Park's a 1-star film.
It's mad, isn't it?
And sort your head
I love
out.
This. You can control a regular zoo filled with dangerous animals, but for some reason, dinosaurs are tricky. What?
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 Do what dinosaurs what? Are?
That one has 1,012 reviews and only 10 1-star on IMDb.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they're mostly trollers.
Yeah. Right. They're all like, most of them aren't. So I tried to weed out any that were just clearly like bad stuff.
Yeah.
I think there's an element of moderation. So all of these are mostly well-written, long reasoned things. It's just they're insane.
I just can't imagine a dimension when you'd watch Jurassic Park and go, what a load of shit.
Yeah.
1-star.
Film number four. The plot is at best laughable and at worst contrived over a script editor's table one night after enjoying lashings and lashings of ginger ale. It's nonsense.
Prestige.
I was thinking that.
Correct.
Oh my god,
I knew one of them would be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was just waiting for one about plot.
There's some good ones in here. Actor does his trademark one note scowling, only this time with a Dick Van Dyke accent that would shame Dick Van Dyke.
Harsh.
Starting as Edgar Allan Poe meets Jules Verne, it ends up as what? Doctor Who meets Star Trek, and it's a train wreck.
Doctor Who meets what? Star Trek. Star Trek.
I forgot a bit about the aliens.
Yeah. I love this.
Is that the teleport? It must be, right? The beam
maybe,
up,
yeah.
I guess.
Imagine being this furious. It's the longest movie I've ever sat through. It felt like 9 or 10 hours at least.
You've never seen like Dancing with Wolves. Yeah. Or
nothing interesting happens. It's a story so convoluted and stupid, written only to get to the last shocking reveal that anyone with half a brain would expect coming since the introduction. It's worse than Al-Qaeda.
Wow.
And then I like this. By the way, spoilers for The Prestige coming up. Couldn't Jackman just make like 2 copies of himself and do the trick even better? No, the dumbass drowns himself every time for some reason.
It's
with
valid.
2 copies of yourself.
It's a very good point. Yeah.
With 2 copies of yourself, you don't need to drown yourself.
Yeah. Plot holes don't equal 1-star, though.
I love that. Cool.
One
final
more.
Film.
What's the scores, Jeff?
So the last one isn't The Prestige.
You are 11-4.
Okay.
So you can't win.
Oh. Sols. Brilliant. Still fun.
Film number 5.
Happy birthday, though.
The film is the most cliched in cinematic history and is worthy of no respect.
Oh my god.
Cliched. Star Wars.
No.
Oh, one of them might
The
be.
Godfather.
No. Saying this is the number. You're going to get it now because you actually know this.
I don't know them all.
Saying this is one of the best movies of all time, taking the number out, is like saying McDonald's makes the best hamburgers.
Shawshank Redemption.
Fuck, I was going to say that as well.
Yeah.
Were you about to say two?
Yeah. They're both palatable, predictable, inoffensive products that are easy to digest. Both have happy endings. That is, if you find the stunning speed with which a McDonald's hamburger flushes out of your digestive tract to be a happy occasion.
I bet they thought they were so clever when they were writing
And what
that.
They've done is just had, they've got halfway through and they're like, oh, metaphor doesn't quite work.
You had your go at Pulp Fiction, so I'm going to say that I'm not a massive Shawshank Redemption fan.
I'm not either.
I thought it was a good film,
but not as highly regarded as
someone is. Yeah, it's not top two films of all time.
No way. This movie is absolutely way too predictable. The title always gives away the, already
films
gives away
can
the
be
ending.
Predictable. Films can be predictable.
Like Red Dead Redemption 2 gives out the fucking Star Wars ending.
Bloody war. Unbelievable.
I love this. I don't know, an alien. I don't know what this one's about. We see all of what we normally expect to find in prison with a very fatal exception. No mining. I'm a personal favourite of mining in prison.
There is a bit of mining.
Exactly.
He's got a little hammer.
And then this is mad. I'll never forget the scene where the old man hangs himself after leaving prison and the piano symphony kicks in. Why should I feel sorry for him? Try living in Africa, buddy, and tell me how hard your life is.
Oh, Jesus.
There's people starving in the world.
That is a horrible scene.
That's the craziest ratio. 6,300 reviews and only 82 1-star. That is little.
Yeah. Well, good. I enjoyed that game.
I think it could be harder.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it doesn't need to be critically acclaimed necessarily.
Yes. Mm.
Good feedback on the quiz.
Yeah.
Let's get some feedback on our own.
Oh, yeah.
Of our own, even.
I haven't even got any feedback.
Yeah, I know. I realise I haven't dished it out yet. So you're about to receive it in your hand.
I'm number one as well, for fuck's sake. Okay. This is from Lewis Glover. He says, "What's up, boys?
What up?
What up?" Just a quick drink and podcast recommendation. Podcast, The Weekly Planet. Two funny Australian guys and one a YouTuber called Mr. Sunday Movies and the other his friend. They chat about comic book movies and also other popular films. Just a good time, if you like it. No, sorry, I read that wrong. Just a good time, if you like it. They have set up a podcast. I put it the first way. If you like it, they've set up a podcast network with other Australian podcasts. Worth checking out.
Mm. You've got into Australian podcasts recently.
Just love Aussies, man.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
And the drink recommendation. Washing up liquid. Not washing up liquid. This is the name of the drink.
Yeah.
Get a normal pint of your favourite lager, drink half of it, order a blue WKD, fill up the glass pint with it, try it. It's nice.
That sounds grim.
That doesn't sound nice.
No. Beer and WKD.
What colour does that turn?
Brown, probably.
It's muck.
Yeah.
Pure muck.
Lewis, washing up liquid.
We're not going to drink that, mate.
That
we
implies
might listen to
that
the
it changes to a yellow plus green. Yellow plus blue equals green, doesn't it? So maybe it does go green.
But beer isn't then yellow.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I guess that's why it's called washing up liquid, right?
It'd be very liquid flavour. Not flavour.
Flavour.
I want both. this is from Toby Wyther. Somehow, this guy who had to tell us how to pronounce his name, I got Toby wrong. Toby Wyther. Hi, guys. Firstly, the discussion about shandies / tops. So he's really addressing the big points.
Yeah, booze.
Whilst at university, I regularly switch between a top and a shandy. Don't drink enough. Until one afternoon, I asked my normal barman for a bit more than a top. A bit less than a shandy.
Tandy Newton.
It became a regular drink in our university hall's bar and has since stuck with me to the point where I had my fiancée drinking them so frequently that she once went into a random country pub we passed and asked the barman for one. He prompted to look at her like she was having a stroke, and it was then she realised that it was not the genuine drink and something I'd made up. What? Secondly, you spoke about Mark Strong. I did.
Are these connected?
No.
Okay.
A few years ago, I was on a train to London on my birthday. Like your birthday, Dale. Oh, what a coink.
Yeah, amazing.
And noticed that in the next row of seats was none other. Guess?
Mark Strong.
Yes.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
He's got another point.
Didn't see that twist coming.
Having been a huge fan of his, I thought it was fate that I should go up. Fate? That I should go up.
It's fate that I will wear your face.
I'm a huge fan of a lot of things that I don't expect to meet.
How strong are you, really? Arm wrestle now.
I thought it was fate that I should go up and introduce myself to him. But he was continually distracted. Oh, sorry. But I was continually distracted by two small children who were continually running up and down the carriage.
Unbelievable.
Just as I stood up to seize my moment,
What was Mark
the
Strong or the children?
It
was
to meet Mark.
Oh, I thought you meant to sort the kids out.
I know, that's what I was, like, what?
Mark did the same.
Mark, which one of you wants to have these?
Turn to...
Sounds awful.
Turn to what I then understood were his children and screamed for them to sit down and shut the fuck up.
Wow.
I quickly obliged.
Parenting.
Now, I feel like...
Wait, hang on. He quickly obliged
by
sitting down
and shutting the fuck up.
He told the kids.
He told the kids to sit down and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, but
are we assuming
they're his kids?
The kids that I then understood were Mark Strong's kids.
Mark Strong was telling his kids to sit down and shut the fuck up. So why did he do it as well?
Well, it's a bit of rhetorical flair. He's just said, I also sat down and shut the fuck up.
It was too awkward to go.
Tell me why the Dale doesn't like your writing style. Personally, I like it. I think it's full of elan.
I know. Can't use it. How strong I am. Let's arm wrestle. Winner gets to be Mark Strong.
I will become Simon Strong.
You just go up, that's you how win, it works, and you shave it? Your hair in front of him. I get it.
I'm in Shazam 2.
I just want to point out, I think Mark seems really nice, and I saw him with his kids, and he was being nothing but lovely
to him. He didn't tell
him
to fuck off or anything.
Sometimes you got to tell your kids to fuck off.
It's not in...
Do you?
I just want to point out, just in case we ever have the point that Mark Strong's on this podcast, and I don't want them combing through this, not in quote marks that he said shut the fuck up. That might be an inference.
He might have said, please children, quieten down, this is the quiet carriage.
Toby, stop slagging off Mark Strong.
Yeah, we are not. Anyway, this piece of feedback is from James Griffiths, who says, hi all.
Hello mate. Jimmy.
He just wants to ask for feedback for a console no one talks about anymore.
Okay.
The 3DS.
Legendary.
In brackets, well actually, the 2DS.
Oh.
I got one last year. Not for the first time, but the first time in a while since having a blue one at launch.
Oh, I see, right.
So he had a 3DS, didn't have one, got a 2DS.
I've had a few blue ones at launch, you know what I mean?
No, I don't.
No, I do.
What game should I be playing? Open to buy any good ones, but don't know where to start as the catalogue is so big. I'm about to start Persona Q. That Persona Q does look good, as we know.
It's all right,
I'm a Persona fan. I do not own a 3DS though. My sister does though. I've played a couple of games. I do like the Professor Layton games.
Yeah, they were good.
Pokemon.
Come on, mate.
Let's go off the beaten path.
Let's get in the good shit.
Go on, get in the weeds.
Fire Emblem Awakening.
Okay.
That's a good one. That's like one of my favourite games of all time. You should get that. If you like Persona Q, I believe that's a crossover with a 3DS series called Etrian Odyssey, which is fucking bonkers. It's an RPG where you have to draw the map. So as you're going through, like, it's a classic adventure style, like you're moving in first person through dungeons and through overworlds, but you have to draw the map so that when you go back you can remember what was there. It's wicked.
That sounds insane.
It's great. What else is good on 3DS? If you like those sort of tactics-y games, there's actually quite a good, I think it's Tom Clancy's Shadow Strike. It's one of the only Tom Clancy games. That's like a genuinely good XCOM-y thing, but for 3DS. Link Between Worlds is one of the best Zelda games ever made.
Majora's Mask is there?
Majora's Mask and Ocarina of Time are on there.
What was the other one? The other Zelda game that came out. It was exclusive to the DS.
Hyrule Warriors? No, Wii U.
Spirit Tracks and Phantom Hourglass.
Yeah, Phantom Hourglass, that's what I was
But people are mixed on those.
I never played it, but...
They're all right.
I thought it looked okay.
Are they still making a lot of 3DS games? Obviously the Switch
They're slowing
is,
right down yeah. now. Yeah. What else was good?
I really liked Scribblenauts.
Scribblenauts is pretty banging.
Yeah, it's on lots of things now.
Scribblenauts Unlimited, I think they did on 3DS. Yeah. That was quite good. If you want something that just takes away your entire life, Animal Crossing New Leaf.
Yep.
Absolute banger. And I just got, fucking eShop. If you haven't played any of them, the SteamWorld games, SteamWorld Heist and SteamWorld Dig are both on there, and they're wicked.
Amazing. Joe is your man for Nintendo recommendations.
Yeah, boy.
If you want to send any feedback, send it to IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com.
Anytime anyone says that, they always look at everybody
I know,
else. Is this the right
someone
email
else
address
say
I'm
it.
Saying?
Someone else say it so they get it right.
We want your Game of Thrones Thrones predictions.
Yeah. Game of Thrones
we
predictions.
Also want, follow him on from the Bear Grylls Extravaganza.
Bad at this.
What interactive TV game would you want to play? We had a good one earlier, which is just an Alan Partridge version, where basically whatever you pick, he does what he wants anyway. So it's just watching Alan Partridge, really.
Just seeing how he engages with you, the audience.
Good. There are some very Partridge Bear Grylls moments.
Unbelievable.
I'm not going to lie, all I want to do now is do more of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, let us know what you'd want to do, a choose your own adventure on your TV with.
Going to be honest, like, after Bandersnatch, I did not expect Bear Grylls to be the second.
That's mad, isn't it?
Although, haven't they done another one?
Yeah, they did Puss in Boots before they did Bandersnatch.
They've shot this all over the world, though, so it must have been in development well before Bandersnatch came out.
I mean,
no,
they probably knew Bandersnatch was going to be. They tested it. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Amazing. Please send us in your feedback. But as we know, a new regular segment. Don't beg.
They beg.
I just like people talking.
If they want to,
no one wants
decisions
to talk to me anymore, and I just need friends at the moment.
Oh, if you liked our chat about Totally Accurate Battle Simulator last week, we did a video on it, and I like it a lot.
It's
so
very funny.
Watch
very
it.
It's on the YouTubes. Basically, as we now know, all of this is just preamble to a UK garage banger.
Yeah.
Which this week, Birthday Boy Dale Driver has got the hot seat. What have you gone for, Baby Cakes?
I didn't go for Baby
it's
Cakes.
It's not Baby Cakes.
I believe, I can't remember, we spoke about it at the start, but I said, did I say Shanks and Bigfoot,
you
Sweet
did.
Like Chocolate?
You did.
I did, yes. What a fucking great song that is.
It's at the weird crossover of UK garage and pop, where it's got like the two-step beats, but it's got a nice vocal.
I feel like people should write in recommending garage songs, because we're slowly starting to run dry.
No, we're not.
I feel like we are.
Just
I'm running. Well, we have to research them now. I'm running out of ones that are on the top of my head.
I think I'm going to buy Pure Garage, the classic album, and
now that's what I call garage
and
music.
A CD, yeah, basically, and a CD player, and we'll listen to them in the office and pick some favourites.
Very good. Get some Bedingfield in.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is what is it, Dale? Give it an
Bigfoot.
Intro.
It's Shanks and Bigfoot with Sweet Like Chocolate.
1999.
Happy birthday.
Big up.
Stranger, I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.